So as I started to prepare for this morning's service, actually my mind went back. I thought about 26 years ago when Rocky mentioned that, Pastor Rocky was going to have his first service in the Union Hall, and his mom had invited me. And I walked into the building, of course, Sister Carmel was playing, and, you know, I'd known the family most of my life, and, of course, me and Rocky for a season had worked together and would occasionally see each other, but I remember walking to that church that day and honestly had no expectations other than to hear service and out of a respectful, good friend and get out of there. That was my expectations. And but the Word of God, you know, sometimes, you know, God has a plan. And, you know, it just wasn't that day's message I realized from, you know, my great-grandmother and even beforehand, and my grandmother and my mom, you know, the prayers, you know, the Bible says that one plants, one waters, and one gives the increase. But you never know when that's going to take effect. But we're to trust God and stay in faith and continue to pray. So that service that morning, I shared before, you know, it really wasn't the message, it was Rocky singing that got to me. But as I left there that morning and left, something felt different and something changed. And thank God. I'm not going to get emotional, but God did do something. And becoming a Christian sounds good. And I guess as the days and weeks transition there, you know, I knew about Jesus. I had gone to church as up until about 15 or 16 or so. But the head knowledge and the heart knowledge were two different things. So as I began to walk and go back Sunday after Sunday, of course, my upbringing was certainly a lot different. It was more just a sit down, go home type of sport. Certainly, I wasn't used to. I enjoyed the new music. It was something I wasn't accustomed to. Even Christian music at that time wasn't nowhere near like it is now with the variety and you can pick and choose what you want to hear. But it was something about it that drew me that day. So from that day forward, I knew something was about to change. And my first point this morning, if you don't mind pulling up there, Clarence, is a willingness to change. So when I left there in the process of receiving the Lord into my heart, you know, God had already done the work. As I think about Brother Mark in worship this morning, when you think about sin, the greatest transaction that's ever taken place is when we receive Jesus. Because if we're here this morning, we know how strong our sin nature is. I mean, it's a powerful force. And even after you give the life to the Lord, it's a powerful force. You know, Galatians 5:17 says, and even when you're preparing, but it's on a daily basis because each one of us lives with our own self, but it's a 24/7 battle with our flesh. And the Bible, depending on which translation you read, but it says it wars against us. It's fighting against the Spirit of God that's within us. But thank God the Spirit of God is greater than us, than anything on the outside or anything that the enemy has to fight against us. But a willingness to change. And for me, that's, you know, I've always kind of been one of those types of people that, man, it's hard to ride the fence. You know, you can do it for a season, but God's word, man, it will eat you up when you do that. And one thing I've noticed about God's word is I recognize my own faults. And coming into this new year, and there's something about the month of March, because people look at this as like a rebirth. You know, things start to bloom, and it's just, you know, the freshness and the seasons that's changing. But for us, that's every day. I mean, we get to change by the grace of God. We're walking towards eternity with God every single day of our life. But as I went into the new year, my focus was going to be strictly to draw closer to the Lord and to walk, hear his, a more closer walk with his voice. But how many of you know that's easier said than done? And I can tell you, man, the first 7 days, Brother Mark mentioned fasting, so I decided to do 40 this year. So, and now it was not 40 with everything, it was 7 day hard fast and then 40 days with absolutely no sugar other than a piece of fruit. And I'm going to tell you, man, the frustrating thing about the fast is, you know, I get up, pray, man, I'm in worship time, reading God's word, and then get up and, man, it's just this agitation. And it went on day after day, man, I repent. Get up, pray, worship, man, frustrated day after day after day. And man, but now I'm asking God to change me and to draw closer. And he was, but man, I was frustrated. So actually, my grandson, I had to go pick him up. And I go in. This is Satan, such a liar. So I go to pick him up on a Saturday. I'm about 30 plus days. And I mean, I'm battling this frustration, man. I'm angry at myself. I can't say I'm angry at God, man. I'm saying, Lord, I need to hear from you. And my granddaughter walked in the door and she offered me a marshmallow. And man, did it taste good. Completely lost my train of thought for a second. And I'm telling you, after about two of them, man, it caught me that, you know, now the devil is a liar. And I'm telling you, from that point, I was free. God completely released me. Fast forward about a week later. And I'm very careful with this because I've learned worship over the years in a different way. And certainly the people that I've been surrounded by and the Word of God. But that I got up on a Wednesday morning, and I got 4 days left in the fast. And I put up on worship music, and I can tell you, I don't know where I was at or what I was doing, but man, did God free me. I mean, I felt just the presence of the Lord. I can't tell you where. I was lost in His presence. And man, I needed that coming into this year. So today's title of the message is Knowing Jesus Should Change Everything. Knowing Jesus should change everything. 2 Corinthians 5, 15 through 17. You know, change is not easy. He died for everyone, so those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. I kind of relate that to when I, before complete surrender to my heart to Jesus, how we viewed Him. It's a complete thing is how we view other people that don't know Jesus. We view them as souls that need to be won for Christ. From a human point of view, at one point we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know Him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone, a new life has begun. In the real world, in God's kingdom, there won't have to be new beginnings. God created everything. And this morning I was thinking, you know, maybe somebody here this morning, you know, maybe you grew up in a bad environment. Maybe you don't know your parents. Maybe you're totally away from your family. You know, the Bible says that God created us before the foundation of the world. He just used whoever it may be, female, to bring you into this world. You are a chosen child of God this morning, and God has a plan for your life. And it's so important to remember that you are a new creation. I no longer have to worry about my past, my regrets. And that's something sometimes for me myself, I look back and say, man, I wish I would have did that. God has redeemed my regrets. And I can look back now and see where He's used those things. Sure, I could have made some better decisions along the way, but it's that journey. Once we get on the journey of faith, we can look back and see, man, it took that to get me to where I need to be. It took the family that we're born and raised in. God knows when He chose us, wherever we may be, He knew what it was going to take to be one for Him. So whether we like our circumstances or we don't, the fact of the matter is, God is in control. And if we commit our life to Him, He will take care of us. I am a new creation, and the most amazing thing about that is my daughter's a school teacher. I wrote this down. Man, God, think about everything that you've ever done, and you write it up on the blackboard. I mean, I certainly wouldn't want people to see mine, and probably even worse would be some of the thoughts. And God just takes a big eraser and wipes it off. I mean, as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought back up again. And then when we make a mistake today, we repent, we say we're sorry, and we move forward. It's wiped off again. Man, God is ever merciful. as I thought about my own sinful life, you know, we're all in a different place in our walk. But I thought about in the Bible, Jesus is talking about, you know, how we can see the speck in somebody else's eye, but we can't see the log in somebody in our own eye. But I relate to that. They both have to be removed. I experienced true freedom with Christ is when you come to the Lord. You know, we're all brought up. I was raised in a good family, but an imperfect family. And a lot of the things that I was brought up in were wrong. And I acknowledge that. But that's every family, because we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But when we come to God and ask Him to change us, you know, and we want to be more like Him, there cannot be no hidden areas. You know, I think it's Psalm 11:4 said that God sees everything. So we might as well simply turn it over to Him, because He knows all and He sees all. So my mindset on whether it's life and death, God come to give us life. He certainly didn't come to take it away, regardless of however that may be. He's ordered our days, numbered our days, and when it's our time to leave here, that's up to Him. But we have, when it comes to human life, that's God's responsibility, not man. Maybe it's the fact of, maybe you've got a mindset of, you know, maybe it's in the political realm. You know, what does this word say when we go to vote? What about when we have dietary habits? I'm known as the food police where I work. God give us this revelation. Our daughter is asthmatic, but years ago, Rocky had a guy come to the church, Joseph Christianio, and that really kind of put me on a path to examine everything that I ate. I mean, I've been in the business for years, and there's certainly things that I've learned just because I have been in that business. And I can tell you, it's like most of the things of this world, it's not the most honest business. And there's certainly a lot of things there because I know about it. I wouldn't eat them myself. You know, and living a healthy lifestyle, I want to honor and work for God as long as I can. But it has to be a surrendered area. I surrendered that a long time ago, that I wanted to eat and drink to the glory of God. And it's not an easy road. When I fast that time, it's not no easier for me than it is anybody else. But I learned to get my focus and set my eyes on the one that it needs to be focused on. And that way I'm delivered. And it strengthens me. Freedom begins when we face our problems without excuses. God won't hear excuses when we take our last breath. I'm sorry and I want to change. And with God's help and His word, we change. When God created everything and man fell, now once we give our life to Him, He's willing to recreate us. But we have to fully surrender every area of our life. There's nothing that we can hide from Him. You know, that may mean changing our environment. That's biblical. But we have to have the freedom to follow Him. And whatever has to move and fall along the wayside. It is funny, the Christian walk, because I certainly have friends that have come back to talk to me who initially laughed at me, and that's okay. I mean, if they laughed at Jesus, they're going to laugh at us. But we know where our strength and our empowerment comes from, and it comes from the Lord. And you say, well, Gary, what's the new life look like? You know, I got to thinking about that, but I said, let's let the Bible just speak. Not facing the truth about ourselves and making excuses of Satan's deceptive plan. The only way to walk in freedom and victory is to surrender. No one, no family, nobody has it all together. But the Word of God and following Him is the only cure for our sin. Ephesians 22 through 32. I said, let's let the Bible just talk about what a new creation is. God does a much better has a much better thing to say about it than I do. It says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. See, it's bad enough. We got to fight this flesh. Then we got the world system. Then we got to get up and go out in the world every day. And our enemy is invisible. We have to fight it with the Word of God. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. We are all parts of the same body, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for former anger gives a foothold to the devil. I can remember Darlene and I got a pastor, we met with him, and he was a Methodist pastor, I believe, but he was probably up in his late 60s or early 70s. He was a young man, and now that I'm that age. But he told us, he said, you know, this is one thing. Don't let the sun go down your wrath. He said, this is one thing I wish I would have accomplished. And I give that man credit for, he didn't have to share that with us, but he did. And he said, but it's because you're going to wake up and it's going to get worse. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for hard work and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Wouldn't that make a big difference in our houses, in our homes, in our nation, in our government? And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ has forgiven you. The most important thing that we do after we give our life to the Lord is to live for Him. As I seek to change, as I coming into the new year this year, I'm grateful for what the Lord has done in my life and what He's doing today. But I can honestly say that as I've come to get closer to Him, the things of this world do seem fleeting. I realize how time is short. And I just Googled the research that 2,000 people die every second. You know, when you say that, well, that includes old people, middle-aged people, and young people. We never know when that time is going to come. So we don't need to put anything off. God has called us to share the good news. He's given us a gift of salvation, and He just wants us to share it. And certainly here recently, I had a chance, there's a young lady that we come from out of state just working with us, and you know, she went to a church, and her mother and dad had a big argument, and it was involved in the church, and she said her mother would never walk into the church ever again. And the physical abuse that her mom, and you know, she didn't have to show me the pictures, but she wanted to know that she was honest. And she said, I just don't see where God's hand, well, that wasn't God. Our God loves us, and He may correct us, but he may flip a table over, but he's not going to beat us up. He's going to gently draw us back to Him in love and compassion, because that's what He does. You know, I think about, you know, the last choice that we make is so important. And I think about, you know, John Mark in the New Testament. He goes on a mission trip basically with Paul, and you know, they're going to where no believers are, and a lot of things took place there initially, and he just decides to go back home. And further down the road there, even Paul and Barnabas get into Christians, brothers in the Lord. They get into an argument. He said, he's not coming with me. But at the very end of that, Paul said, go get him, for he's good for the ministry. So our last choice, regardless of what it is, can change our destination. As I said, walking into that church the first time, that would be the one thing, if I could encourage somebody today who doesn't know the Lord, would just, you know, would be a willingness to change. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then let Him take over. See, at the cross last Sunday when we did communion, and I spent 30 minutes here worshiping, preparing for communion last Sunday. But that transaction, God nailed everything to the cross. That transition, I mean, transaction's already taken place. We just got to walk in it. The work is completed. It's up to us how much of God and how much of His blessing we want to walk in. But it's all up to us. So the first thing, knowing Jesus should change everything, the first thing is You know, we got to be willing to change it. And that's every day, every moment, and hand it over to the Lord. The second thing is, and this for me really stood out so importantly about my walk with the Lord. 2 years ago, I come home from work. And, you know, well, let me go back before that. So let's go back 3 years. And this is not going to excite you, but I had a dream. And I was going underneath my house. And I opened that door. And I mean, the snake nailed me. I mean, right in my chest. And darling, I come up out of the bed screaming. And that was in May. And the reason I can remember it, the guy who services my water system under the house, that's when he comes. Fast forward another year. 2 years ago, I come home from work. And for whatever reason, this way, I pull in a certain way every day. I decided to not to do that. So as I jumped out of the truck and the garage didn't open, so I hit the button again, and I grabbed my cup and my keys, and apparently a black racer was trying to skim up the side of my garage. And all I saw was that snake in my face just like this. Man, I mean, I just, of course, I screamed and threw the coffee cup up, the keys went flying, and backed up, hit the ground. And man, I was looking for that snake. But to me, that's a picture of my second point, because you know, we're Christians, we got to shake things off. And I could look at that time with the COVID situation and work, and my walk hadn't changed, but in my line of business, which was maybe a thankless line more so before COVID took place, you know, people were calling from 2 hours away because they couldn't find product. And God bless where I worked. I mean, we had vendors from everywhere, food services, 7 days a week. And had to change the hours, but God truly blessed that business. And to me, that goes back to the founder of that business, who's was a godly husband and wife. But Miss Neal, I'll call her by name, was a prayerful woman, and she walked the walk of a Christian lady. And there's no reason to me why that business has survived all this time, because it was founded on faith and prayer. So that's so important. Ecclesiastes 7:21. There was a lot of different directions I thought about this that I could share with this. But for me as a Christian, this really just stood out to me. Ecclesiastes 7:21. It says, "Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you." I wrote this down as one of the most important things and elements of our walk is we're going to struggle at times. But we repent and move on. Satan, our adversary, and I'm sure, just like that voice I heard that day when I ate that marshmallow, Satan would tell you, you blew it, it's over, it's too late, you've gone too far, just give up. But Satan is a liar and the father of all lies. God gives us new beginnings. It's because of his compassion today that the reason that we're still here. New mercies every day. New mercies moment by moment. That's just not a daily thing. That's a second by second that he does that. The voices. Jesus certainly didn't come to make everyone happy, and we're not going to do that either. If we're going to walk the Christian walk and be honest, you know, me, certainly, I never want to see anybody. I realize their fate when they don't know the Lord. My job, and my joke is always when somebody gets on my nerves, I said, don't make me pray for you. But prayer does change things, just like it changes us. And every week when I leave here, you know, I'm going to share something with my coworkers that I learned. And I, you know, God gives us creative ways to share things, and I try to do that every week because I want to make sure that the people that are around me, first, I want them to know that, you know, I am saved by grace, and I don't have a perfect walk. But I want them to know that my heart's genuine and I have their best interest, you know. And even if you're an employer and you had to fire somebody, sometimes firing that person is in their best interest. You know, we're called to do work and, you know, and for the glory of God. And somewhere along the line, this culture seems to forget that. But, you know, the ministry is work. And I'm sure John Mark, when he first initially got into the ministry, that may have been a part of the reason he lived. He missed his mom's home cooking, but the ministry is work, and it takes spending time with the Lord in prayer and worship to live it out, to get the work done. But we need to be careful to the voices that we listen to. We should seek godly counsel. And when I thought about godly counsel, I thought about Stephen in the Bible sharing before the people that stoned him. And I said, Lord, it's amazing how as a Christian that somebody can give us constructive criticism and that would upset us and offend us. Here, somebody's taking stones and giving their life. Criticism, for me, you're welcome anytime to come up and encourage me or criticize me. I'm a work in progress, and I'm trying to become more like Christ every day. I don't want to see, as I said earlier, I don't want to see my brothers and my sisters' faults. I need to look in the mirror. I'm not going to answer for them. I got to answer for myself. Jesus didn't try to make everyone happy. I thought about it. You know, they talked about Jesus. Could you imagine some of the things that Jesus said? You know, he was cursed, spit at. You know, there's nothing that Jesus did that everyone, just like with us, was going to like. But what I did like about him, I say love about him, was he kept his focus on the Lord. You know, the greatest no that's ever been told. Can you imagine Jesus on his knees in the garden? You know, and I hear parents, I just don't want to tell them no. Well, you know what? God the Father told his son no in the garden, that his will had to be done his way. He said, is there any other way? I mean, it wasn't like he's on his knees bleeding, asking the Lord, is there any other way? And the Father said no. I mean, sometimes a good no is what we need, and it's the most important thing. We got a lost generation, honestly, that doesn't know what that word means. But, you know, God is moving, and I truly believe God will turn this nation around. God is raising up men and women. It don't take but one to turn a nation around, and this nation is far removed from honoring God. You know, I think about even as, you know, what the teachers have to deal with and things they're trying to be taught. You know, God's word is true. You know, and if you're a man, you're a man. If you're a woman, you're a woman. And any confusion outside of that is of the devil, and that he's the author of that. And, you know, that we love, just like God loves me, I'm a sinner, and we love those that are confused. Ours is to walk in love and share the truth. You know, there may be something that, you know, we can't control. You know, just like us, we have to be willing to make that change. We've heard the gospel, but our job is to walk in love. And I can't say, honestly, I like what Pastor Rocky said, I can't think of an enemy. I'm sure I do, and that's okay, because we pray for them. And, you know, I want to be at peace with everybody, but just like Jesus, sometimes, you know, Jesus got mad. He flipped tables. You know, he told people no. He rebuked his own disciples. So the truth is, God's word is going to be hurtful to some, but it needs to be told. Brother Paul had been shipwrecked on the island of Malta. And, you know, he, because of his faithfulness and listening to the word of God, he actually rescued, I guess it was 250 or 300 people. So as they're making a fire, and you would think those people would be so grateful, but Paul, being a servant, he goes out and he goes to get the wood to help him, and a snake bites him. So he goes from being, you know, somebody that's, you know, a good man, to all of a sudden he was evil and a murderer. But then when he shook it off, see, we're going to get bit by sin, and we're going to get bit by other people, but we got to shake it off. We know who to confess our sin to, and when people hurt us, you know, we pray for them. You know, we're not to do anything outside of that and to love them. You know, we don't have to hang around them unless it's at work. There's things we have to do, but that's just part of being a Christian. God blessed him because not only did he shake it off, God honored him because he kept his focus on him and kept moving. And it went on when that snake didn't harm him, and they said it didn't kill him, he went from being an evil murderer to a god. So, you know, people's opinion will change when we stay faithful. This story here, I thought about the one thing as a Christian and the greatest struggle. in the battle of the mind. And it's a very, very popular scripture. But this story really sticks out to me because, you know, Satan's greatest weapon is condemnation. He's defeated. And it's funny, even when I get up here and share, you know, man, I study, I prepare. And just sometimes it just doesn't come out the way I want it to. But God knows. God knows the time that I put in. You know, he knows my heart, whether I get it right or wrong. And my prayer is always anything that I said that's not of God would be quickly forgotten. I just want to be a servant, whatever that is, whether it's a door greeter or picking up trash, it doesn't make a difference. You know, I would just soon be the gatekeeper in the house of God. You know, and this is, hey, I'm going to heaven, and I never, ever want to take that for granted. But the greatest weapon is Romans 8, a very, very popular scripture, verses 1 and 2. So there's no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. And that's a true statement. But many of us have a classmate here, and I won't go into his name. And for I walked him through the process of, he went through a young divorce and had to raise a child. And those devotionals that we got back there, he religiously, I would see him sometimes 5 days a week, but he wanted that devotional. And I know I can't tell you how many years that we've had that here, but from the first moment he got that devotional, it meant something to him. But he had his struggles. Part of him is kind of like my brother's, the same struggles. He would come in and confess his sin to me. I would say, you know, we all fall short. I said, we all struggle. I said, all you do is just receive the Lord's forgiveness and move on. Day after day, month after month, he would go through seasons of getting his act together, then fall back again. Didn't trust banks. But he loved the Lord. And I have no doubt that he's right now looking down because he's happy that I'm probably sharing this, I'll be honest. So I get a phone call, and it wasn't unusual for him to call me and not the right state of mind. But he calls me, and this is in the worst state I've ever seen him. And I'm the last phone call he ever spoke. And his brother come and told me how much he appreciated him ministering to me. And I've prayed for his brother because his stepbrother. I don't know if his stepbrother is truly saved. He calls me and telling me this. He's falling back and all those types of things. And he says, Gary, the demons are all over me. I said, say the name of Jesus. And he did. And those demons, they left. The demons that he had in his life, the willingness to not let the word of God to fall back into that lifestyle, and he struggled. But I can tell you this, if there's one thing I know about this guy, he loved Jesus, and that condemnation ate him up. If I've ever seen that really destroy, he would be so upset that he like got down. I would say, you didn't let him. He knew you were going to fall. He just wants you to get back up and to move on. But this lifestyle finally took his life. But I'm grateful for the opportunity. You know, he was willing to receive. I take those devotionals. I try to keep one with me in the trucks to always have an extra with me because I never know. You can, when you talk to somebody, sometimes they want to take it. When I offer somebody one, even a coworker, and they don't ask me for another one, I let God do the work. If, you know, I let them know, you know, if they want another one, just to let me know. And I do have people that, you know, I don't keep as quite as much as I used to with me, but from time to time we'll say, do you have one? And I want to make sure that I do. So I want to be used for God's purposes. But there's no condemnation in those who know Christ Jesus. Shame and guilt, man, that's the devil's. That's the only thing he has. Powerless, weak. And I thank God, just looking back, coming from the fast to start the year, I can see God's hand in my frustration. He was just drawing me closer to him. He wanted me to let go and surrender. You know, old habits are hard to fall off. And, you know, the walk is not easy. But when we keep our focus up, man, I love the fact that, you know, I always see Jesus kneeling down to pick me up. And, you know, I'm always hopeful. You know, there is a joy when we receive the Lord and a peace. If we don't get anything else out of the message today, regardless of what you're going through, your circumstances, somebody's going through a very hard time, but God's peace and joy transcends all of that. Because when we stay faithful to His word and to His heart, He's going to bless us. You can't outrun it. You know, I think about even as my walk given, because Jesus does change our eternal destination. But this morning, no matter how big or how small your step is, you're still moving towards Jesus. So if it wasn't for small beginnings, little things, that walking into the Union Hall that day completely changed my life. It was a little step. And thankfully, God used little things to draw me back to Him. And a lot of help along the way. But I thank God for Calvary's Love Ministries and Brother Mark and so many people here that have had a hand in bringing me full circle. We fight a fixed fight. And even when we always get the victory, and when we do the will of the Father, even when we are lost, the Bible still has plenty of promises for us to receive. We're never at a loss. God will always restore and redeem what the enemy takes from us, because that's who He is. Our God is love. The Bible is full of life. Amen. I want to close with the scripture. I think about how, you know, I was sharing the 2,000 people pass away every minute on the earth. You know, Paul was finishing up in his life as, you know, I was be 62 at the end of this year. And, you know, the hourglass is certainly on the other side. And I do believe in declaring God's blessing over my life, and He's going to use me for His. I want to go into my 80s being healthy and whole and being able to be used, even if it's just setting up communion for the young people to serve here or wherever that may be, wherever God's going to have me at that time. But Acts 20 through 24, Clarence doesn't have this. It's in the Good News Translation. I think about finishing my race, but this is how I want to finish it. He says, "But I reckon my own life to be with nothing to me. I only want to complete my mission and to finish the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to do, which is to declare the good news about the grace of God." God has been merciful and good to all of us this morning if we're here. You know, He wants to turn things around this morning. Knowing Jesus changes everything, but if it doesn't, it should change everything. And I'll just say this, and I believe this is God's heart. This morning, if you're here and you know Jesus and you're not walking it, you need to truly look at Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because when you get Jesus, that wrestling, as Pastor Rocky said, we're going to wrestle. We're going to wrestle with our flesh. We're going to wrestle against the principalities and powers. But when we wrestle with them and we stand on God's word, we win. And there's nothing that we cannot overcome in this life. But let's be faithful to God and His word and what He would have us to do. And Gary, you can let Pastor Rocky know to come on back in. Brother Mark, if you'd like to come up, I'm going to have a closing prayer. Yeah, I'm ready for Rocky. Okay. Father, this morning, Lord, I'm grateful, Lord, for Lord, what You've done for us, Lord. Father, Lord, it would have been enough, Lord, Father, to have given Your life, Lord, but You come, Lord, to set us free, Lord, to heal us. Lord, You've laid so much mercy and goodness upon us, Lord. Father, forgive us for looking at other people, Lord, when it's all about You and it's all about us. Father, I pray for somebody this morning, Lord. Father, maybe they know You, Lord, but Father, their lifestyle, Lord, they haven't walked it out. Lord, You know each and every heart here this morning. Father, I pray this morning that Your Holy Spirit, Lord, which when we receive You, You've renewed that. And by Your grace, Lord, we are changed. Lord, I pray, Lord, that, Lord, just, Lord, a willingness, Lord, a brokenness this morning, Lord, to come back to You into full fellowship, Lord. Father, we recognize, Lord, that it's not that You move, Lord, it's us. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that somebody who, Lord, needs a breakthrough, Lord, whether it's Lord, in their giving, in their finances, Lord. Father, maybe they need a breakthrough in their family relationships, Lord. Father, may they call upon you, Lord. Father, when we, as you told in Jeremiah, Lord, when we call upon you, Lord, you will answer us, Lord. Father, you will show us great and mighty things, Lord. Father, you never, the line is never busy, Lord. You're always available, Lord. For it costs us nothing but to seek you, Lord, to hear your voice, Lord. Father, I'm asking right now, Lord, Father, that somebody this morning, Lord, would come to know you as Lord and Savior, whether it's here this morning, Lord, Father, whether it's by seeing a replay of this on social media, Lord, this is all about you and your purpose for their lives, Lord. Father, we know that you come to this earth, Lord, Father, to seek and save the lost, Father, and we thank you that your word does that, Lord. Your spirit does that, Lord. And Father, you use your love and kindness to complete it, Lord. So Father, this morning, Lord, we worship you. We love you. We give you all the honor, Lord, all the praise. Lord, I pray that you would prepare us this week, Lord. Father, you've told us to go and make disciples, Lord. Father, we would share your love with somebody this week, Lord. Father, Lord, Father, that we would speak truth and love, Lord. Father, and as you told your disciples, if somebody doesn't receive us, Lord, we need to shake it off and wipe the dust off of our feet, Lord, and move on. Lord, the mission field is full, Lord. And Father, you've called us to keep moving, Lord, to do your work and your will. Lord, I come against any distractions. And I know one thing, Lord, in my walk, that when we leave this building so many times, the enemy, he knows how powerful your word is. He comes to distract us. He comes to steal it. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, this week, that would not be the case, Lord. And every week when we leave this building, Lord, Father, that we would take every thought captive. It would line up to what you say, regardless of our circumstances. Lord, you're aware of everything. So, Lord, this morning we just want to say thank you and praise you, Lord, for everything that you've done. But most importantly, Lord, Father, we thank you that you're working, even when we can't see it. So we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name.